to the mountains of North Carolina every year just to see a season in the fall. And I used to drive all around Asheville, but never in Asheville except for one time. And that was right down there on Broadway, where we were in the building 2 years ago in 2003, ministering to the street. Little did I know back then what would come in a very few short years. Asheville, to me at that time, was a very peculiar city. Just looking at it, it seemed dark from the place of my perspective when coming through here. It didn't seem like a friendly town. It seemed like almost a half-dead town. So coming to Asheville was not a choice that we had, except the choice of following the Lord's leading. There's a lot of history here. There's a lot of things God is about to reclaim. And we, Melody and I, are just being obedient to be a small part of what God is about to do here. A very small part. And we're just thankful. Every time we hold a meeting, whether it's in the Encouraging Cup or downtown at the body, or when we had our meetings first in the nightclub, and I look out and I see the people God is bringing together, it just amazes me. Because He doesn't care where you go to church. He doesn't care what you believe so far as the gifts are or how you operate. He loves you. And He loves it when you get together and love each other, because He's there in the midst of us. That's all that matters. That's what I'm really thankful for right now, just to dovetail on Melody's thankfulness, because we really do thank you. God gave us a wonderful home in Mars Hill and a bunch of people that are praying still for us and supporting us. And it's been a wonderful experience to be riding on the grace of God. Melody and I both had a very tough life. Both of us had death sentences over us. Both of us were supposed to die, but God had a different plan. And He brought us together in 2001. It was an awesome thing. That night in a Hard Rock Cafe, when Morningstar Ministries had a worship conference, and my friend and I walked in and sat beside Melody and her mother, butted in the middle of their conversation, took over the conversation, started proselytizing and prophesying all over the place. And little did Dana and I know, because we were budding prophets back then. We had just been anointed as prophets in the house in an Assembly of God church in Orlando. Little did Dana and I know that Melody and her mother had already heard from God, and that they knew that Melody was going to meet her husband that night. So I came in advertising, not knowing I was advertising. Tell them. I want to warn you, men, whenever you feel the Spirit move, there's more than one thing that's moving, I think. But God has prepared their heart. So, and God prepared Melody's heart. 9 months after Melody and I met, we had both prayed separately about getting married and a date. And God told us both separately, September 15th of 2001. So the wedding was planned. Everybody was flying in from everywhere. Melody's from Chicago. I'm from Orlando. People from all over were coming in. But September 11th happened. So at the last minute, we had to postpone the wedding. And that Saturday night, September 15th, Melody, we were talking on the phone that night, and we decided we were getting married anyway. So we married each other on the phone. Just to seal the deal. And then less than a month later, Melody's mother civilly married us in a restaurant over very expensive dinner. Thank you, Gene. It doesn't go out void. It comes back sooner or later. So that was the second marriage that Melody and I had. But we still wanted to do the formal church wedding because the cake had been made. It's in the freezer. We've been eating quiche for 3 or 4 weeks now. Oh, man, I don't want quiche ever again. So we couldn't get the facilities, the church and the reception hall back together again scheduled until January 19th, exactly 1 year after the day we met. It's an amazing event. So we had another wedding. And this is how I know my wife is so smart. Because now she has 3 anniversaries I have to remember. Either she gets 3 presents or I get 3 reminders. But I look at it on the positive side because I'm bound to remember one of them. But there was a lot of things that were going on that seemed to come in periods of 9 months. There were several things that kept happening in 9 months. Melody's parents moved to Arden after Melody moved out of the house. It was amazing how fast they moved out of Orlando when Melody left the nest. But we came up here to visit them in October 2002 because all hell was breaking loose in Orlando. And it wasn't just because we got married. Because we were interceding, we were praying, we were prophesying. We would lay in bed in the afternoon on Sundays and pray, and the thunderstorms would roll in, the phone would ring for no reason, nobody would be there. And we'd always get these confirmations after confirmations that God was moving. But we didn't realize where he was moving yet until we came up here and visited Arden for about 4 days. And on the way back home, God spoke to both of us and said, "We're moving to Asheville." What did I do with my water? So the neat thing was that while in Orlando and while freshly married, I had dreams and visions, particularly of long dreadlock-haired kids walking down inclined streets, and it's so clear because I kept having them over and over. And for no apparent reason, these kids would just fall under the power of God and start manifesting in tongues and falling under the Holy Spirit. And there was nobody around them. And I also saw very clearly Friday night services in a building in an old district of a downtown where people would just walk in the door and there was worship going on. There wasn't anything formal. People were just moving by the Spirit. And people would walk in and repent and get healed. Miracles would happen. It was just a download of God going on. And the presence of God was so intense that it was drawing people in. And I kept seeing also a storefront ministry, a street brick front type church building, ministry type building. We tried to find a place in Orlando where we could start this because the calling and the unction was so strong, but it wouldn't fit. There was no inclined streets in Orlando. Just didn't work. But when we decided that God was calling us to Asheville, we went back and we put the house up for sale. And on December 21st in 2002, a ton of people showed up at our house to pack the truck and move us up here. Two guys even volunteered to drive it out of nowhere, to drive the moving truck up here. And we came up here, packed everything into Carol and Jean's spare bedroom. Our whole house fits in their spare bedroom. And we lived there for 10 months, just over 9 months, before we got a house in Mars Hill. But during that time, the Lord was showing us that this was the place for his outpouring to come. This was the place where kids that we've seen and we've met in this downtown, this very downtown, are about to be met with the awesome power of God. And they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue, Vinny. There are apostles and there are prophets walking these streets today that don't even know what that means. But God is going to supernaturally download on them. And you are going to be there to see it. You are going to be there to mentor them and train them. You are going to be there to help them heal from the wounds that the enemy's given them all their life. That's what you are here for. You are no longer playing church. I'm warning you. When the Spirit of God moves and he shows up, you're not going to want to stay in a building on Sunday morning. You're not going to want to just watch some other preacher on TV. The Holy Spirit's not going to let you. That fire is going to be on you. It's coming. It's coming. I know it like I'm standing here. Whenever the Lord gave us the vision for this ministry, he said, equip the saints. Equip the saints. He's calling in a harvest of laborers before the white harvest. It's coming faster and it's coming stronger. This place is supposed to be a place to equip and send out. Equip and send out. It's cross-denominational. Denomination's not in the Bible. You know, the Lord is going to allow the denominations to exist, but they're going to be irrelevant. Because whenever you, as a part of the body of Christ, walk in the awesome power and authority of the Spirit, nobody's going to call you a Baptist. Nobody's going to call you a Methodist. They're going to call you anointed. Anointed. You're going to walk in that anointing. You're going to walk in that miracle power. It's coming. It's coming. It has to come. It has to. The kingdom of God has to come. Jesus is in heaven because all things are held until they're complete. Then he's released to come back. He's ready. Sunday night, we're showing the video, the dead man video. And when this gentleman died and went to heaven, he said he saw all the mansions that Jesus went to prepare for us, for all the saints. And he said, they're all done. They're all finished. They're all complete. That part's ready. This part is about to be ready. There's been a lot of 9 months. A lot of 9 months. A lot of birthing. Birthing. Even this place was a 9 month period. The fusion building we were in was a 9 month period. When the floods hit here in the fall, spiritually we saw the water break in the heavens. And the baby is coming forth now. The year 2005 is a year of release. Release. In the beginning of 2004, I kept telling everybody, and Melody will agree, that I had a vision of a huge hallway in the heavens. I mean, it was a humongous thing. And there were humongous doors, like bulkheads, that were on the sides. And there were these angels that were holding them back as they were bulging. They wanted to open, but it wasn't time yet. And the Lord had these angels. These were bulkheads of prayers for different things. The prayers that had been built up, but it wasn't time yet. Now it's time. The Lord is releasing the first door. He is calling the angels off that watch, and those prayers are about to be answered. The flood is about to come. And it's the flood of the Spirit. And it's the flood of freedom. Freedom from religion, from tradition, from debt, from sickness, from sorrow, from offense. The flood is coming. Are you ready? Who's ready? Who's ready? I mean, are you ready? Have you felt that unction inside of you? Have you felt the urge of the Spirit wanting to just dwell up from way, way down? Something's got to come. Something's got to happen, Lord. Come, Lord, by your Spirit. Come.
Yes, Lord.
Break this thing. We've all heard the stories, I'm sure, about the people that are praying at Young Echo's Church for this region to be the outpouring for the nation.
Yes.
And I've told many of you how I've seen in the Spirit the membrane that's hovering low over this area. And on the other side of that membrane is the glory of God. And it's stretched so thin, it's translucent, you can see through it. You can when you get into praise and worship, you can get in there, and tonight I invite you to get in there. The glory of God is going to come through every single one of you. The Bible says that you are the windows of heaven. And we're going to pray a prayer right now. Before Mother Margaret comes and delivers a word for us tonight to dedicate this place to God, I'm going to pray a prayer. We're all going to stand. We're all going to stand in agreement that God now releases the windows of heaven and releases the flood that's coming. And at the end of the prayer, I've got a couple of prophecies I'm going to make that the Lord's put on my heart today. And then we're going to let Mom come and deliver the word that I'm sure is in due season. I'm sure she's had a word built up for years for this area. A few years. And I just want to thank the Lord that He's given me a surrogate mother, because my mother is the reason I'm here. I partied for 24 years, went through at least 7 times I should have been dead. But my mother's knees was my insurance to be here. She's gone on to her reward. And I pray that she's looking over that great cloud of witnesses, seeing the results of her prayers now. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So if you do have lost ones, if you do have wavering ones, faint not. Faint not. They're coming. They're coming. They're coming. Praise God, they're coming. Can we all stand? I want you to feel free. The protocol tonight is that during worship, if you have a word, Melody and I are going to be checking words. In other words, I believe the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And we like to keep things in order, decent order here. We like to do all things, but we do all things in order. If you have a word, come to Melody and I, and we'll judge it if it's from God, and release it if it's time, it's in the right time. During worship, we can do your shofar. And banners are great. Watch out for the fans. But I just want to make sure that we set an example. We raise a standard. Because we're downtown. We're going to be under scrutiny. And I don't want those who are watching to allow the devil to lie to them. So we want to make sure that we do things decent in order. So right now, though, this is a freedom time to pray. Pray out loud for the next few minutes. I'm going to lead out. And I just want us all to agree. God, you use us as windows of heaven. God, you have many people out there in the business world, in the arts, in government, in all kinds of places that are called by him to be windows of heaven, to release the Spirit, to release the gifts, to release the anointing. We're going to touch and agree right now that he comes and does that. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just come, Lord, and thank you that you're bringing in glory and windows. That you're releasing it tonight. That this city has been crying out. Come, Lord. Even now, Lord, come. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you have told your prophets and prophets what you were about to do. That this is a sober time. This is a time of expectancy. It's a time no longer of false labor.
Thank you, Lord. I hear the Lord say, I have waited many years for my people who are called by my name to humble themselves and pray for my glory to return to this land. For my glory has been here, and my glory has resided here. But my church has allowed darkness. My church has turned into apathy. My church has gone quiet. I heard the Lord say, there's a remnant that I've been listening to. There's a remnant that's been tugging on my skirt. There's virtue been going out for me to a few. A few that hear my voice and follow me. A few that are not distracted. There's a few, says the Lord, that I'm coming back for. And I will honor their prayers. I will pour out on this city. I will make it a standard. I will make it an example. I will make the nation look to you. Because of the remnant, the river will flow. The river of heaven will flow up from the bellies of my saints, out from the lips, out from the hands, into the streets, says the Lord. Take it to the streets, says the Lord. Come out of those places. Come out of tradition, says the Lord. Come out of the mindset of yesterday, says the Lord. Put on the new wineskin, says the Lord. Bubble up, says the Lord. Release the gift, says the Lord. Prophesy, says the Lord. Go out and do apostolic work, says the Lord. Evangelize with the good news, says the Lord. Do those things. Teach and preach and coddle and get those people that have been hurt and heal them, says the Lord. Yes, says the Lord, it's 911 for Asheville. I have heard your call, and I'm coming. I'm coming. My angels are on horseback riding these hills, waiting for you to open the gates. For you to open the gates. Open the gates! I hear the Lord say there's many of you who have no idea of your part of tomorrow, what it will bring. But the Lord says it's faith that will bring tomorrow to you. The Lord says you are my body. You are anointed for my work. And you are the ones that the gates of hell will not prevail against. The Lord says, take me, my word, in your mouth, in your heart, in your hands, and deliver me to the lost. Deliver me to the wounded. Deliver me to the outcast. Deliver me to the rejected, for I love them with an eternal love. And I hear the Lord say, look not at their outward appearance. It's only a body. It's only a body. But I see their heart, says the Lord, and their heart needs me. So bless them. Feed them. Clothe them. Go out and heal them. And deliver them from their enemy. You have the power, says the Lord. I have given it to you. It's up to you to use it. Beginning now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your heart. We thank you for the visions you have put and the prayers you have placed and the unctions you have given many of these people to walk these streets and declare your glory and to continually intercede and to bring together other intercessors, and to bring together pastors, and to bring together those that see and hear your voice, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that all these have come into proper place now, and it's time to release you. Release you. We thank you, Lord, that this word will not return void. That we will begin to see the revival in Asheville start. Right away.
Yes.
Right away. No delay. No delay. Thank you, Lord. It's going to bring a word.